Before I get started this week, I wanted to give a big shout out to Jeannie Colwin Coaching. A lot of people think using the tools means that they're healing. But if you're still going nonstop all day, ignoring your needs, living in pressure, and running on urgency all the time, well, then your brain still doesn't feel safe. And the vast majority of us never learned how to actually listen to ourselves and create safety in our lives before the body starts screaming for attention. Because symptoms are only one metric of healing, Jeannie recently taught a free workshop on this exact topic, and it really resonated with people because it went far beyond just symptom relief. And the replay is now available. If you're looking for deeper support, Jeannie's new TMS group coaching program starts next month, and she's also still available for one-on-one support. You can find the workshop replay and all the details in the show notes. Check them out now. Welcome back to the Mind and Fitness Podcast. It is Wednesday, June the 24th, 2026. As you're listening to this, I may be on an airplane. I may be on the East Coast. My wife and I are going out to... So last year, we started this thing. So I guess this is the second annual. The Mariners are our baseball team. They are our home team, hometown baseball team. We have a season ticket package here in Seattle. But... really wanted to start exploring some of the other parks. And so last year we went out to Wrigley Field and that was awesome. Other than, I would say Fenway Park and then maybe Yankee Stadium, though Yankee Stadium has been remodeled and redone so many times that it doesn't necessarily feel like the old school classic stadium that we all would know from the past. But Fenway Park still has a very cathedral feel to it. But we are flying to Pittsburgh. We're going to see the Mariners take on the Pirates on Thursday. It'll be a 12:35. I think it's a 12:35 p.m. local time start. And then we're going to drive to Cleveland, which is a couple hours away. I went out, for those of you that have been listening to this show for a while, I flew out to Cleveland, or I flew out to Indianapolis at the beginning of 2025 and visited Indy. And then I went to Canton and I went to Dayton and then I went to Cleveland. And I really fell in love with that part of the country. So we're going to drive to Cleveland, see the Mariners actually play the Guardians also on Friday night, which is going to be awesome. So we're going to knock out two parks in one trip and get some time away. And that'll be nice because, man, it has been a doozy. And I was thinking about this. I've done a show in June the last few years that has been kind of leaning into like the sales life. I'm in sales. That's my day job. I sell tech, or I sell software, and I have for a long time, since 2011. And it would seem, you'd think that the longer that you do a career, sort of the easier that it should get, but continues to be more and more challenging. And then in my personal life, this was without a doubt the most challenging year that I can ever recall. And when I say year, we run July 1st to June 30th. So when you think about last July 1st to this year's June 30th, this has been the most challenging trials and tribulations 12 months that there has been. It's been rocky, and I'm not going to go into full details. I'm okay. I'm all right. Family is okay and all right, but it's been a challenge. But nevertheless, had the best sales year of my entire career. I've been doing this now for 15 years, and this was the best one of all of them, and by a pretty healthy margin too. So I don't know how I did it, and it could be the last time I do it, but made my 8th President's Club and my 3rd with this company. So it has been a ride. I'm exhausted, if I'm being honest. I need some time away, and it looks like I'm going to take a week in a few weeks, like 3 weeks. I might take a week, or might just work remotely from a place while the family relaxes, but sort of get out of the daily, you know, you go into the same office every single day and you do the same thing and you have the same routine, and just getting out of that and even just going somewhere else to work could make a big difference. But then at the end of July, I'm taking my motorcycle trip with my buddies. We are going to go down to Northern California. We're going to see the Redwoods. We're going to ride part of the BDRX Lost Coast in Northern California, which is the Backcountry Discovery route. We're going to take the 101 and we're going to ride the coast on the way back. And so it's going to be awesome. I think it'll be, we've done, other than in 2021, we've done a trip every single year since 2019. And as a group, and I think this one's going to be the best one. So we'll see if I'm correct or if I don't know what the hell I'm talking about. But be that as it may, it's going to be a good time. And adult softball starts on July 10th is our first game. So I'm very much looking forward to that. Audrey's team, it was a blast doing the assistant coaching work and pitching to them this season. It's the last season before they start doing kid pitch, which is next year. And they went all the way to the championship game last year and they lost in the championship game. This year, they went all the way to the championship game again and they actually won on a walk-off. They were down 11-3 in the bottom of the third inning, and it sort of felt like this is the same thing as last year. They kind of they mowed through everybody pretty much and then got to the tournament last year. And they got to the championship, and then it just didn't work out for them. This year, down 11-3 going into the bottom of the third, and it kind of felt like maybe this is the same thing as last year. They came all the way back, and they won on a walk-off hit by one of the players, 16-15 in the bottom of the sixth, and it was pretty exciting. The girls were over the moon. So, like, I love seeing that. To be honest, I think, like, at any sort of a young age, let's say, I don't know, younger than 16 maybe, for the most part, I think that talking about scores of games for youth sports is gross in a lot of ways. The way that most people present it, that is, meaning there's plenty of times where I will see people in my purview out in the distance, whatever, that they'll boast and talk about their kids on social media, whatever, if they win. But then if they lose, it's silence. And I think that sucks. And I think that's a bad way to think about it. And for the World Cup is going on right now. And the U.S. has performed poorly in the World Cup and on the world stage for soccer for so long. And one thing that I continually read in a lot of these like soccer, youth soccer coaching subreddits and things like that, is that it really sounds like in most parts of the successful world for that sport, at least, there isn't even a thought of even keeping score until kids are 14 or 15 or 16. It's purely in there for development. There's no scores. There's no standings. They're going out there and they're getting the reps without the pressure, the stress of the scores. And then here in the U.S., it's like, how young can we possibly put out scoring for kids and put that pressure on them? And this spring was soccer tryouts, and that seems to always be an awful time of the season for everybody. I'm a rec coach, so I'm a recreational coach. And it seems like it is high stress for the kids, high stress for the parents, which kids are going to make it, which kids are going to move on to newer teams and bigger teams and better programs and things like that. And I lost 8 this season to select programs, premier programs, things like that. And so the team is quite depleted. The league, the club is actually quite depleted. And so it's a little up in the air on what's going to happen for the fall season. There were 11 girls that came back and said that they wanted to play on our team. But we need no less than 14. 16 it would be a good roster. 18 is the max. And so I guess we'll see what the future entails in that regard. As far as this episode goes, I was thinking, okay, so June, I've told the story for a long time that throughout my health life as a, let's say, post 22 years old or so, that I would have this interesting thing where the end of every quarter, sales quarter, meaning April, June, September, and December, I would always have some kind of a ailment, illness, something that would just crush me. And it was only when I was browsing Amazon, this was in late 2017, it was in late June of 2017, where I was browsing Amazon and I was looking for mobility products, really any sort of thing that I could buy, mobility or, you know, things that I could use to make my body feel better, basically. At that time, I was getting acupuncture every week. I was getting a massage every week. I was usually seeing a PT every week, seeing a chiropractor every week, seeing a doctor every couple weeks, because I just had so much pain constantly all the time, and I was in really high vigilance. And a suggested purchase on June 30th, This is the last time that you will hear my voice before June 30th of this year. So this was 9 years ago this week, basically. A suggested purchase of Healing Back Pain, The Mind-Body Connection by Dr. John Cerno came into my suggested purchases. And I went and I read the reviews. Let's look this up. I've got this in front of me right now. At this point, it's got 7,932 reviews, and it is reviewed very well. I think at the time, there was probably about 2,000 reviews or so. And I was just thinking, God, like, finding 2,000 people that can generally agree on anything is a near impossibility. But sure, I'll give this book a try. And if you haven't read the book, there'd be really little reason for you to listen to this podcast if you didn't have back pain or chronic pain of some kind. That's probably how you heard about it. And if you have, for some reason, not read that book, that's the best of the bunch. That's the Bible, basically. Go and pick that book up. You can get it on Kindle. In fact, if you have, I just saw this. Hold on. Because I think it's on a sale or something right now. If you have Kindle Unlimited, it's free. You can get it for $12 as an audiobook. You can get the paperback for $10.50. Your local library probably has this. So there's really not any excuse. Go take a look. Even if it's not back pain that is your thing, it's still a great read. It's one of the best books I've ever read because of how radically and quickly it changed my thought and how I felt about pain and chronic issues and even acute pain, how I would treat. Doing, like this morning I had a couple of workouts, and one of them was 3 rounds for time, 5 deadlifts at 315 pounds and 70 double unders. There's been times over the last 5 or 6 years that I will do a deadlift or a heavy deadlift like that as a set, and I feel a deep twinge in my back that feels like somebody took a hot knife and stabbed it directly into my probably like L5-S1 area. And before reading Sarno's book, that would have been so catastrophic. It would have been, I'm going to the ER. I've got to get, like, I can't move. I'm in the fetal position, all that kind of stuff. Since then, because it has occurred a few times, being able to link it to whatever is going on in my life at the time, and even if I don't have to figure it out, brushing it off and saying, this is probably just TMS crap. Typically within... oftentimes it's within a couple of hours, but certainly within 24 to 48 hours, whatever was going on where it hurt so bad I couldn't even stand properly for a while is completely gone. And so that's been such a tremendous asset throughout my life over the last few years. And to be able to be into my 40s now and push my body as hard as it possibly can be pushed and be able to still have really good athletic performance, have really good stamina. This week, it's only Tuesday. Sunday was Father's Day. So let's start with Saturday. So Saturday, my buddy Matt and I, we did a 550-mile adventure motorcycle ride. We rode from Edmonds, Washington, which is about 10 miles north of Seattle, all the way down to the Oregon border. We crossed into Oregon. We went a little bit east to go to the Bridge of the Gods. And then we went to section one of the Washington BDR, where we then did 120 miles of pure dirt and then rode all the way home. 520 miles. It was about 13 hours total. And about 12 of that was ride time. We stopped for gas and things like that, but virtually no breaks. My traps hurt so bad after that. Being tense, especially on off-road riding for four to five hours or so, it's very tiring. And Zoe in particular, but both the kids don't understand that. Like, you're just sitting there. You know, what are your hands tired from, you know, moving the accelerator or whatever? No, I'm telling you, you're tense. You're trying to not fall over. You're trying to not fall off an embankment and die in your fireball. And so you're tense the whole time. And you're also, when you're on the highway, you're riding the bike 70 to 80 miles an hour for hundreds and hundreds of miles. And you're ultimately holding on. The idea is like, hey, if you can, I try to slow down my breathing and I try to not breathe out of my traps and all that, but still, like, you're amped up. The adrenaline's high. You're on a motorcycle. Like, that's part of the deal. You want to feel alive. Like, it's a meditative state, but it's the most tense meditation that you can imagine. So I did all that on Saturday. The plan was I'm going to take Sunday off completely from working out, but then realized that we have to leave at 6:45 a.m. on Wednesday to make our flight. So I could either wake up at 5 and go get in and work out, or I could sleep in and get in 3 days now. So I did a whole bunch of hang power cleans on Sunday, got in a run, did a couple other things, high box jumps, things like that. Monday, I've started to do this 60-minute, one-hour run and keeping it in zone 2, ideally. So somewhere around 125 beats per minute. Let's go back to Sunday. Sunday did all of those hang power cleans and the box jumps, things like that. Went with Audrey, did a 15-mile bike ride. And then when I got back, jumped on my electric skateboard, my one wheel, and Zoe took the e-bike. We did another 10 miles on that. And again, that's one of those things, well, you're just standing there. No, the amount of stability needed to even ride a one wheel, it's all the muscles in your, those little muscles in your feet and the stability needed in the calves. So that was very, very sore, right? So I finished the day, I think I had around, 16,000 steps or 15,000 steps, something like that. Monday, I've been doing these once a week. I've been doing a 60-minute, one-hour zone 2 run. The only goal for the run, because last summer I was doing 10Ks every single week and I was trying to break my, I was trying to PR it every single time. So I was usually about 155 to 160 beats per minute and was just running as fast as I could. And I'd have to stop every 12 to 15 minutes, take a 30-second to 1 minute walking break. So I said this year, instead, I'm going to try and increase my capacity, meaning the amount of time that my heart is pumping at about 125 beats per minute. I've landed on, okay, let's see, 60 minutes, and we'll basically just go as far as we can while staying at about 125 for 30 minutes and then turn around and come home. So it's a 60-minute run total with no walking breaks. That's the only thing. I can slow down. If I start to, sometimes I'm running up hills, and so my heart rate will go to 135 or 140, but I need to get it back down to 125. So it is a snail's pace of a run, but there is no walking. That's the only, so those are the only things with myself. Keep it at 125 and no walking breaks. Okay, so did that on Monday. And then today, let's see here, 3 rounds for time. I did 5 deadlifts at 315 and 70 double unders. I rested for 4 minutes, and then I did 12.963 of overhead squats at 115 and pull-ups, did Bulgarian split squats, did a zone 2 1 mile run, did some crossover symmetry work for my traps and my shoulders and things like that. My traps are still killing me from that motorcycle ride on Saturday. This is day 3, so hopefully they'll chill out soon. But I live a very active lifestyle, and I credit the Sarno book in a lot of ways and all of his subsequent books that I read after that, because on June 30th I bought Healing Back Pain and I read it in a day or two. The pain that I'd had for months and months and months that was just getting worse didn't evaporate, certainly, but I had such a big dent in it within a couple of days that I thought, oh, this is definitely where we're at. Take a step back, have some realism around how you feel and what it actually is, and lower the stakes a little bit. So June 30th, I bought Healing Back Pain. July 5th, so just a few days later, I bought the Mind Body Prescription, Healing the Body, Healing the Pain. If for some reason you're hung up on the fact that, oh, it's my knees that have hurt for a long time, it's not my back, and you can't for some reason read Healing Back Pain, Mind Body Prescription, great next step. He covers so many different things in there that are outside of the gamut of just back pain that that'd be worth it. The next day, July 6th, I bought The Subtle Art of Not Giving a Fuck, The Counterintuitive Approach to Living a Good Life. That was a good book, so I read that. I'm going to bring my Kindle on the plane. Maybe I'll read that. July 22nd, I read Dr. Sarno's Top 10 Healing Discoveries by Steve Ozanich. Also on July 22nd, I bought The Divided Mind by the Epidemic of Mind-Body Disorders by John Sarno. So I'm buying these things and I'm reading these things and I'm just getting sucked in and absorbed by what it is that he talks about. September 10th, I bought The Great Pain Deception. September 26th, I bought Healing Back Pain, but the audiobook, which is read by Sarno, which I think is a whole different experience. Then I got into Why Do Zebras Get Ulcers? Stress-related diseases and coping, and that I bought that in October. Then I bought Schubiner's book in October. bought some Eckhart Tolle, bought the audiobook of The Mind-Body Prescription. So this theme of Sarno's work and not falling victim to the BS and not falling victim in general, I think that that is a big part of it, is not trying to not think of yourself as a victim in a lot of these things. And life is very hard. And Sarno talks a lot in his books about the age of responsibility, which is 30 to 60. And I'm 40 right now. And so just knowing, God, I got another 20 years in this. But again, just having reality that, like, God, go to the grocery store, pick up a steak, try and tear that steak apart. The tensile strength of muscle and other soft tissues is so intensely hard to be injured. And I think that the more, and they happen, injuries happen, but even with the acute ones where something does hurt, that's sort of the way that you can think about it in terms of, hey, like, my body is really just, it's an excellent healing machine. The more that you can kind of get in that frame of mind, the sooner you're going to be able to get over a lot of these ailments and things. There's exceptions to every rule. But that's probably the biggest thing that I have realized over the last 9 years. And again, this is the last time that you'll hear my voice before June 30th, which was the day 9 years ago that I found Sarno's book. And it's changed my life in so many ways. So I hope you all have a great rest of the week. I will catch up with you probably on July 1st. That's when I'll be back. So without further ado, this is the Mind and Fitness Podcast. Thank you for being here.